Okay, the boy said today's daf is daf Chof Aleph. We'll start from Chof Amud Beis, roughly 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara first quotes from our Mishnah, from the Saret Srita Achas. Srita means to make an incision in one's flesh, and as we'll see in the Gemara, it's only osur if you're doing it, only chayv malchus if you're doing it on a mess. Rachmon Letzlan, someone passed away, and the way you express your anguish and your sorrow is by making incisions in your flesh. Chas v'shalom, a person gets malchus for that. It's Tana Rabban. The pasuk begins v'seret. Now, what's the full pasuk? V'seret lo nefesh lo sitnu b'vsarchem uksoy v'skaka. What does that lo nefesh come to tell us? Dr. Bryson. After all, a person may be having a lot of anguish, not necessarily because someone passed away, but because chas v'shalom his house fell in. Or Nebuch, he had a svina, he had a large ship, and Nebuch, it went, and it was tovah b'yam, it sank in the sea. Or for that matter, there could have been a stock market crash, or whatever it was that caused him terrible anxiety. And then he made incisions in his flesh. I would think he would be chayv malchus, tamaloyimer lo nefesh. And chayv el ala mes bolod, that's the kavan of the seret lo nefesh. Aha, okay. Umenayim lemsar chomish sritois al nes echot. What happens if one person passed away, but the certain person was so upset that he made five separate incisions? How do I know these five times malchus? Says Yimara, the extra vav comes to be marba multiple seritas. The chayva called serita usrita. Rabbi Yosi Oimen, minayin lemesaret serita achas al heimesim shu chayv. Al kol achas v'yachas. Five people never passed away. The person making one sarita, and when he's making the sarita, he's saying, "Hini muchanum zuman." I'm making the sarita for Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, for five separate mason. How do I know that he gets five times malchus? Tamaloyim lenefesh lechayiv al kol nefesh v'nefesh. It comes in mechayiv on every one of the five nefashes, even though he only made one sarita. He's chayiv on five nefashes. Frankly, one second. A moment ago, I used that lenefesh to tell you va'afikte lebeisa shenofal ulesvinosa shetova bayam. So how can you use the same lenefesh twice for two separate rushes? Everything more kosava Rabbi Yosi that learned now this din of lenefesh, the chayv kol nefesh v'nefesh, he holds srita ugedida achasi uksiv hasam lemes. What does the Gemara mean? The Gemara is now introducing a second pasuk that we didn't speak about until now, at least not in today's Gemara. Today's Gemara, so far, we only had the pasuk v'seret lenefesh lo sitnu b'vsarchem uksoyves kaka lo sitnu b'chem ani Hashem. The only issa that we referred to in this pasuk was about sarita and also about ksoyves kaka, which we're going to discuss a little bit later. However, we didn't speak about Gedida. But there is another pasuk that addresses Gedida. Where is that other pasuk? Shteitin pasuk in Devarim. The pasuk that we're quoting of Etzer Lenefesh is in Vayikra Yates, which is in Parashas Kedoshim. However, in Devarim there's a pasuk, Bonim Atam Lashem Lekechem, Loi Sizgoydedu, Veloi Sasimu Korcha Bein Einecham Lemes. Those of you that want to see it inside, Daf Chof is second, exactly number two. Bonim Atam Lashem Lekechem, Loi Sizgoydedu. Aha. And then it says at the end of the pasuk, the Gemara assumes that the lemes goes on the loises goydedu. And the Gemara also assumes, according to Rabbi Yosi, that srita and gedida are one and the same. As we'll see in the Gemara in a moment, this in fact is not the universal view. Many hold that srita and gedida are different. In which way are they different? Both of them refer to making incisions in one's flesh. However, gedida is with a kli, in other words, using chas v'shalom a knife or something similar, and srita is biyad, using, for instance, your fingernails, and that's the way you're causing the incisions. According to Yosi, these two terms are exactly the same; they're synonymous. It makes no difference one or the other. And it says over there by gedida lameis. And here, although by srita doesn't say lameis, but I'm going to import v'lemeis from gedira, because the two are the same isur and they are synonymous terms. Ah, so therefore I don't need the lenefesh to tell you now al beisei shenofal al sfinosei shetova bayam, because I already have lemes. It's only for a mess. So what do I have lenefesh for? According to the B.O.E.C., lenefesh comes in mechayiv al kol nefesh v'nefesh. If one did one three ton five nefashes, five times makas. So now we spoke about a little bit about the Srit and Gedid, and now we're going to really get into it. Omar Shmuel, HaMesaret Bekli is Chayv. Now on the surface, the words Mesaret Bekli is a little bit of an oxymoron. Why? Because the Iker definition of the word Srita is Biyad, not Bekli. The Iker definition of Gedida is Bekli and not Biyad. And therefore, the chayyur what Shmuel should have said is hamigadet bikli is chayiv, or hamisaret biyad is chayiv. This misaret bikli is a little bit strange. So what the Rivan. We always think of this as being the Rashi. It's the Rivan, because back on Friday's Gemara and Daf Yutes, the Rashi told us, and unfortunately, Rabbeinu HaKodesh Rashi passed away. Yutes Amid Beis, about 12 lines from the top of the Amud, where you see in the parentheses, Rabbeinu, Rabbeinu, meaning Rashi HaKodesh, Gufay Tor, V'yotzenish Mosim B'Tahara, Loi Pirish Yosef. No more Rashi on Malkis, Mikan Ve'elech, Loshin Talmidoi, the Yehuda Ben Nosim, who's known as the Rivan. And for those of you that have next to there, there's a Chav. Chav takes you to Masoris Hashas, that not only was he a Talmid, but he was also Chosnish Rashi, Rashi's Eidim. So from now on, till the end of the Masechta, we'll constantly refer to the Rivan, if we get it right. Sometimes I'm going to say Rashi, sometimes Rishbam. Don't be upset, but it's really Rivan from here till the end of the Masechta. Okay. So was Zog the Rivan. So if we turn now to the top of Chof Aleph Amud Aleph, where we're holding, if you look at the second line, Hamisaret Bekli Chayim, Zog the Rivan at the top, Havadei Pshita Lekuliyam. Everybody agrees to Ikr Gedida Mashma Bekli. If you look up the Webster Dictionary and it has Gedida there, you'll find that the first definition of Gedida is Bekli. The second definition will be any type of incision, even with Yad. But the Iker Gedid is Bekli. The Iker Srita is Mashma Biyad. That's the Iker Mashmois. The Kama Shmua, says Rivan, HaMesaret Bekli Alames Chayiv. Like Omer HaMegadet Bekli, which would have l'choyre been the normal way of expressing yourself. La'ashmeina, to tell you the shame, Srita Shayich Bekli. No, when you talk about Srita and you talk about Kli, the two do work together. So let's think about this for a moment. A person went and took a knife and unfortunately made an incision al hames. We would normally consider that to be a gedida, the ikka gedida bekli. And therefore, the person would be over on the iser of loisis goydedu.
Only.
Sorry?
Only.
Comes again, Shmuel says, no, you're making a big mistake. Since the word srita also includes bekli, not only do you get one time malchus because of being over the loisis goydedu bekli, you're also over on the din of the seret lenefesh. And don't think Sarita is limited to the case of Yad. No, Shmuel says, it's both Yad or Bekli. And therefore, Mesar Bekli is Chayiv. Zogn the Meforshim, V'hamigadeid B'yad is Chayiv. In other words, according to Shmuel, since the two are interchangeable, Sarita and Gedida, any time a person makes an decision, whether or not it's Bekli or B'yad, you're chayv on both Gedida and Srita.
If you don't use a Kli, what is the logic that you should be chayv between Gedida? You did it Beyat. Srita is Beyat.
So remember what Rivan says. Iker Gedida Mashma Bekli. Iker Srita Mashma Yad. Those are the major definitions. But there's a minor definition too. It has a secondary definition. And Shmuel says the secondary definition includes both by Gedida and Srita, the other one, the Kli or the Yad. So therefore, you're in the box.
It's just to tattoo your body, common distress and separateness.
That's going to be the next Mishnah. Another few lines, Mitch, I'm going to address it at that time. Barry wants to know what type of hasra. Presumably you'd make hasra on both, and only according to Shmuel, as well as Rabbi Yossi, if he gave the double hasra, and he did either biyar or bikli, he'd be chayef too. However, those that disagree and hold that they are two separate things, if he say both kedida and srita, if he uses one kli or yad, he'll only get one, whichever one's the appropriate one, the kedida or the srita.
On the other hand, if he only gave one asroah,
yeah,
according even according to Shmuel, he's only chayev on one.
L'chayr. You have to look in the Mefarshim in those details. For purpose of our Gemara, all Shmuel wants to tell us is that the words Gedida and Sarita are basically synonymous, and therefore whether you make the incision Mekli or Biyad, you're over on both. But Freiti Mor Meisri, let me ask you a kasha. Shtein the price of Sarita Gedida Achasi, they're the same Ella. Shesrita biyad ugdida bikli. L'choyer, the kavona of the Bryce is to go and tell you, yes, both of them make nice incisions, or not nice incisions. Both of them are osir. On both of them you get malchus, but srita is yad, gedida is bikli, and never the twain shall mix. So these are two separate isur. Ezach shver an Shmuel. Everything who yomik Rabbi Yosi. That's Rabbi Yosi, the top of the amud. That Rabbi Yosi holds. Because Rabbi Yosi srita ugedida achasi. Shmuel also holds gedida usrita achasi. Since they're both the same, it makes no difference. Yad kli, you're over on both. Tony Tanaka made Rabbi Yochanan al mes bein biyad bein bekli chayiv. If a person makes an incision al mes sai biyad sai bekli chayiv, either like we had according to Shmuel and Rabbi Yosi, you'd be chayiv too, or according to the others, you'd be chayiv one, but you're chayiv. Now al avodas krichovim, what happens if a person is making an incision in his flesh because he wants to serve a particular avodah zarah, and that avodah zarah, its darkoi bekach, its avodah is to go and make incisions, just like we had already in previous Masechta, in Masechta Sanhedrin, that by the Marculius, the strange way of doing their avodah was to go and throw stones, and the Baal Pa'or was to go and use the facilities without using the facilities, in other words, relieving oneself in front of the avodah zarah. There was an avodah zarah that a person would make incisions to go and show his allegiance to that avodah zarah. Shtei do in the Braisa, if that's what a person is doing, biyad is chayiv. If he does a biyad, then he's chayiv for being oyved avodah zarah. Bekli, if he does bekli, he's patur. Frek Timara, 1 second. The pasuk in Malachim, which is criticizing Klal Yisrael for never doing avodah zarah, it says by yizgoididu, they made gedidois in their flesh kimishpatam, like the custom of that avodah zarah. How did they make that gedida? Becharavois uberamachim, by using a cherev, a sword, or roimach is a spear, meaning we're talking about using kalim. And it says, what was the mishpat? What was the custom? How did you go and do this avodah zarah? You did it with a kli. The Braisa said by avodas chachovim, biyad chayiv bikli potter. It should be just the opposite. That bikli you should be chayiv because that's the mishpat of doing this avodah zarah with a cherev uber roimach. And biyad v'chayiv should be potter. And you said it fakert. So to my Elaima Eina Chanami, we should turn around the Braisa, biyad is potter, kli chayiv, because the gabi avodah zarah, the derech at that time for that avodah zarah was bikli and not biyad. Rashi Rivon adds that even though this is that particular avodah zarah, however, this was considered to be a choshev avodah for avodah zarah, and therefore, even if you were to do this in front of another avodah zarah, she'ein avodosa bekach, it would also be chayiv. In other words, if you, for instance, went into your regular, normal avodah zarah place, and a person would start going throwing rocks at the pastor, and at the tzelem, and at the idol up front, that would not be avodosa bekach, and they'd probably throw you out as quickly as possible, and they'd probably call the police and say that it's a terrorist act, and they try to hang the guy for, chas v'shalom, hurting people. Okay, that would not be an avodah zarah. It's only miyuchad for Marculius. However, this explained Rivan, of going and making incisions. This was already an accepted way of doing Avodah Zarah. The Avodah Sebekach was a particular Avodah Zarah where they made the incisions. That was the Gedida Avodah Zarah. However, it's an Avodah Gemura that even if you do it in front of another Avodah Zarah, you'd also be chayv, as we bring to Rivan.
But we had in Masechet Sanhedrin that only four avodas that had that quality. Why don't we include this one in there?
We have those four which definitely have that quality. All our Gemara is saying is, in addition to that, there are others that also have that quality besides the major four. Even Hishtachavo was not one of those four, and we added that already in Masechet Sanhedrin as number five. Anyway, getting back to Agmar v'chayv al-Raish. Now we return to our Mishnah of yesterday, and the Mishnah of yesterday told us that if a person goes and removes his payas, that he gets two times Malkus, one payah on each side. And the Mishnah explained, and the Rivan and the Mishnah explained, that the reason that people used to do hakofas al-Raish was because here on the forehead there is no hair, behind the ears there is no hair. So what they would want to do is kind of unite the forehead to the back of the ear by removing all the hair around that. So you went straight from empty hair to empty hair, and the whole thing was empty. And that was hakofa making a circle, like we have hakofas on Simchas Torah. He's making a circle around his head where there is no hair. And even today you see sometimes by the goyim, some people have, they call it a mushroom cut, I believe. Bazoktir?
The priests.
They also used to go and do that?
Yeah. The monks.
The monks, yeah.
Whatever they are.
So they also had that minik. Okay. Anyway, if a person were to do such a kakof as a roish, he's chayiv on two malkas. Now, exactly how you do that, mechvi Rav Sheish is bein pirki deresha. Rav Sheish is, when he was giving a shir on this Mishnah, he was showing with his hands and on his face exactly where it starts and where it ends, where you have the hakofas arash. And the same thing is vala azokin, shtay mikan, ushtay mikan, viachas von batan. Our Mishnah says if a person removes his beard with a ta'ar, he gets five times Malkus. Rav Sheish is bein pirki didikna. So Rav Sheish is also showed on his own face exactly where each one of the five begin and end. In other words, they are two parokim, like two parts of the jaw on the right and two parts on the left and one down by the chin. So he showed exactly where it started, where it ended. Is a machloikis among the poskim and the meforshim, exactly where it begins and where it ends. Unfortunately, we don't have a YouTube or a picture of exactly how Rav Sheish showed it. In fact, is a machloikis exactly where it starts and where it ends. But bottom line is, if you remove the entire beard, I'll leave it a kuli alma, except Rabbi Lezer, your chayiv five times Malkus. Rabbi Lezer oimim netol, and Rabbi Lezer holds only one time, because Rabbi Chad Lavu. He holds, I agree that there are five parokim, five different parts of the jaw and the chin, altsminach maskim, but you only get one lav, one time Malkus, if you remove the entire bit. It's got to be with a razor. Now, the Torah doesn't say anything about razor. It says in the Torah, v'asri konam lo yigal leichul. So vuvi was upset, atar mit a razor. Turn it about. So it says the lotion of lo yigalechu. Yochel afilu gilchay b'misparayim hechayv. The word giluach means a shave. So I would think if you go and shave your beard, even with misparayim, even with a scissors, you don't to be chayiv. Tamaloyim, it says a separate pasuk, loy sashchis. This pasuk is now in Kedoshim. The first pasuk was in Emor. This pasuk in Kedoshim. Loy sakiv for pias roishchem, for loy sashchis eis pias zikonecha. The word hashchos or sashchis means to destroy, right? If you mashchis something, you destroy something. See, here you're talking about that you're destroying your beard. Says the Gemara, the destruction of a beard is only by using atar and not by using misparayim, because when you use misparayim, you don't have such a fine cut. You still have a stubble left over. So you haven't destroyed the beard, you've only cut it to size. But you certainly haven't destroyed it. Ah, so therefore, misparayim nish. Eloi sashos yochalim lichtim malakir per hitni. Yochai chayiv. What happens if you use malakir hitni? Malakir hitni is a machloikis among the mafarshim. Most rishonim learn malakir hitni means a plane. Plane is something that's used by construction workers when they want to go and smooth out wooden beams. They're constructing something with wooden beams, and part of it is sticking out in this direction, that direction, so they smooth out by using such what is called a plane. A plane, from my understanding, is basically made out of wood, but it has embedded in that wood a very sharp messer, very sharp knife, very sharp razor, and therefore you can use that to go and smooth out, plane the pieces of wood. Now, Malacha and Rehitni are both basically the same, just different sizes or different shapes or different usages, but they're basically the same. The Rambam, however, Malacha and Rehitni learns that one of them is referring to a tweezers. You go and pull it out with a tweezers. Anyway, I would think that if you use a Malacha and Rehitni Yechayiv, you'd also be chayiv for the din of removal of the pias zokon. Tamaloi malo yigalecho. The yigalecho means it's got to be derech kiluach, through shaving. Nobody goes and shaves, according to the Rambam, by using a tweezer. It would take him a whole day to pull out every one of his hairs. And nobody uses a plane, because a plane is, you use it for construction. You don't use it to shave your face. It's arkated, kiluach sheish b'yashchasa. It's got to be a shave that involves destruction of all of the hair. What is that? A bi'oim is a tar, that's only by a tar, by a razor. Rav Lezer oimer afilu liktu malaka rehitni, is chayim. Freyti mumon evshach. Igam hegzeyre shava liboy tar. Ilo igam hegzeyre shava misparayim nami. What is the Gemara referring to? Now, it's interesting, the Gemara didn't use the term gzeyre shava until now. However, the Rivon says that there is a gzeyre shava. Why is there a gzeyre shava? Because the Gemara was quoting two separate psukim. The first pasuk we quoted was ufei as zikonam lo yigalechu. This is a pasuk in Parshas Emor. Parshas Emor at the very beginning talks about the hilchos koyhanim. It not only talks about isha zoyne v'chalalu lo yikachu, v'isha grusha v'isha lo yikachu. If you keep on going down further than the psukim tell you also the kahanim should be careful. As zikonam lo yigalechu. That's the Gabi the Koyim. Now the Gabi Yisrael, we go back to Parshas Kedoshim. That's talking about Klal Yisrael generally. So by the Kahanim it uses the expression Giluach Lo Yigalechu. By Yisraelim it says Hashchasa. How do you merge the two and say it's got to be Giluach Sheyesh Bo Hashchasa? These are two separate parashas. So the Rivon tells us, and the Gemara now is telling this also parenthetically, we use Gzeira Shava. What's Gzeira Shava? In the parasha of Kehanim it says, Ufa'as Zikonim, Aloshim Peya. Legabe, the case of the Yisraelim, it says, so I learned Pa'as, Pa'as, Peya, Peya, one from the other, that all the halachas that apply to Kehanim apply to Yisraelim, all the halachas of Yisraelim apply to Kehanim, legabe the halacha of Pi'as HaZokim. Aha, and therefore that's why it says, it's got to be Giluach Sheish Be'ash Chosa, because I fuse the two psukim together. Reb Lezer, whoever said, that Jechayiv even Malacha Rehitni is Maman of Shach. Igomek Zeyre Shava, if he learns that Peya, Peya, Pa'as, Pa'as, one from the other, Liboy Tal, like the Tanakama. If he doesn't learn the Gzeira Shava, Misparayim Nami. Why didn't he go and say, not only Malacha Rehitni, but even Misparayim should be the same thing, since you don't need a Giluach, Shiesh Boyash Chosa, any type of Giluach, even if you went and took a scissors, even though it's not a hashchasa, so you don't need a hashchasa, you do a giluach. Everything more like the oilam gam gzeir shabbat. The MSC does dashing gzeir shabbat. Because over haninami giluach avdi, he holds that planes like a britney also does a giluach. What does it mean? Also, Malacha Rehitni, normally most Mefarshim learn that it's referring to a plane. What's a plane? That's an instrument that's used to go and smooth out wood. If you have wooden beams, and part of the wooden beam pieces are sticking out, all little types of thorns and splinters, you want to smooth it out, you go and take this nice plane, you go, both the Malacha and Hitni are both the same. Why does it have two separate names? One's a little bigger, one's a little smaller. One you use for azabim, and one you use for poles, whatever. But they're both basically the same. They're synonymous. They're different sizes, different shapes, different, this is 10 feet, 3 feet, whatever. That's all different. According to the Rambam, Malacha means to be locate, like Lakita, to go and to comb, pull with tweezers. That's according to the Rambam. But most of Farshim learns tweezers. You know what tweezers is? You comb. Yeah, exactly. Pull it out. Yeah, pulls, and it can hurt too a little bit. Okay. Women use it? Yeah, the women use it to go on the malakit, the levonis, metach, from the shchoyrites, like we had the day before.
The mice, in practical terms, is very difficult to shave
with the tweezers. Malakit, for sure. And that's why we hold that
it's... yourself to pieces if you do.
If you're not careful, absolutely.
Even if you're careful.
I know people that use shaving cream or shaving powder, and if they're not careful, it can burn away half of their skin. You got to be careful, no question. Anyway, even we don't use razors, Baruch Hashem, but those that you have use razors, they have to be careful too. Sometimes you see people coming into the office with cuts all over.
Ah, this is a plane.
A plane? You want to show this to our good friend? You'll see a picture of a plane?
There's a picture.
Not an airplane.
Where are you seeing?
Yeah, you know, if you're not in construction, you don't really see it. It says a hand plane. And it's just like, yeah.
You're doing the carpenters.
You hold it like this, you hold it down.
Oh, yeah. Full service. You paint it, you size it.
You can I know how to book it.
Planes, I remember.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the plain truth. Okay, anyway, what does Rebbe Lezer hold? It says, Yimara. He holds that planes could be used by a person to go and shave. In other words, obviously most people don't use planes for shaving, but if a person is desperate, it also does giluach. If you look at the last rivon right before the Mishnah, the second wide line down below, giluach avdi, hashchasasan oise giluach keloimar, giluach mikri, the derech legaleach man. It is the derech to use planes. I don't think rivon means that most people use planes. What I think he means to say is, if you're missing your shaver, and if you're a goy and you don't have a problem with the tires, you could use a plane too. You obviously got to be careful, but it can do the same trick, and therefore is considered giluach after all. Okay, on to the next Mishnah, and this is what Reb Elia was asking us about a few minutes ago. We're talking now about tattooing. Hakoisiv ksoivis kaka, a person who goes and writes with a tattoo. Kosev le kakea. Here it says biyodoi, on the side it says bidiyoi ubikhoil ubikhodover shahu roishim. Exactly how does this work? So the Rivan tells us very, very simply the mechanics, the third of the wide lines of the Rivan, ksevis kaka, koizit chilal psoroi bisam oi bisikra. He writes something on his flesh using some sort of ink. In other words, any type of ink he used to go and write something, that's not a problem. Biyakach mikakeya habosor b'machat oy besakin. Oh, but now what he does is the place where he wrote, he now makes an incision into his flesh, either with a machet, with a needle, oy besakin, or with a knife, or something similar. And as a result, b'nichlas hatzeva bein ha'or lebosor, and now that ink that he had originally on top of the or on top of the skin now has submerged underneath the skin, and it remains submerged between the skin and the flesh, the nira boi kalayamim, and now you can see it for the rest of the days. And Rashi, the Rivan says kakea or kaka is pontoir. In Laz, pointoir, that comes to the word point, because since the person is using a needle, it's like needle point work, one point and one needle, etc., to get the kaka in. Good. What's so terrible about it? Does exist the kosher? Kodesh Baruch Hu said, don't defile your flesh and your skin by going and making these crazy tattoos. As we state in the Mishnah. Reb Shimon Yehuda Mishum, Reb Shimon Oimer, Ein Chayv at Shiyachtoiv Shom Es HaShem Shenemur Ksevis Kakali Sitnu Bachem Ani HaShem. Now before we look at the Rivan and before we see the Gemara, it would appear that what Reb Shimon is saying is that you're only Chayiv if you write a tattoo with Hashem's name. Es Hashem Shenemur Ksevis Kakali Sitnu Bachem. What's Ksevis Kaka Ani HaShem? That you write down HaShem? That's what it would appear to be. And not only appears to us, but Zokti Imar Omalei Rav Acha Barei the Rav Ravashi. Does that mean that Yichtev Ani Hashem Mamish, like it says in the Pasuk, Uksayvis Kaka Ani Hashem? Omalei Loi, now you're making a mistake. You don't write Hashem's name. Kedetoni Bar Kapora Einichai Vat Yichtev Shem Avodis Koychovin. Just the opposite. According to this man, the Yomer, you only Oyvin Ksayvis Kaka if you write the name of an Avodis Zorah Shenema. Uksayvis Kaka Lisitnu Bechem. Why? Ani Hashem, I, Kodesh Baruch Hu, said, no, don't do it. Ani Hashem v'lo acher, you're writing the Avodah Zarah's name on your skin. Don't, because Ani Hashem. So therefore, it's just the opposite of what I might have thought without the benefit of the Pshat of the Gemara, so that Shem means the Shem Avodah Zarah.
So a tattoo with Hashem's name would not be over this law.
According to Reb Shimon Yehuda, Mishim Reb Shimon. We don't pass him like that. We pass him like the Tanakhama, the any ksav, with Hashem's name, with Avodah Zarah's name, without any name, just writing anything. There's a machloikis among the Meforshim whether or not it's only if you write something, because it's kosav. What happens if the person makes a pictorial, a picture on a person? I'm sure you've never seen something like that. But in case you ever were to see something like that, you oivar and ksav kaka is a shaila among the mafarshim. Anyway, of course, since it's a shaila and it's a diraisa, one has to be machmir, not to any type of these crazy things.
Take off?
It's impossible to take off. The real tattooing. Today, this is such a funny thing that it's
a laser.
Yeah, they can laser. But then, in the good old days, for sure, you couldn't go and take it off. Anyway, there's a famous tshuva of the Minchas Yitzchak. Tshuva Minchas Yitzchak was the Rosh Bezdin of the Eidah Charedus in Yerushalayim. He passed away, quite maybe 10 years ago, maybe 20 years ago. It was a grace of Goyen. Anyway, he has a tshuva there that was never written from the times of Moshe Rabbeinu until today's times.
Wow.
Why? Because this tshuva is about a Baal tshuva, who his whole body was full of tattoos, including over the Mokum Tfilin. And in the Mokum Tfilin, the tattoo was of an Isha She'eino Tznua, of a woman who was not properly dressed. But he became a Baal tshuva, Baruch Hashem. And now he wants to put on tefillin. Can you put tefillin on? And you can't remove it. So you say, put something else. That would be a chatzitza. So what do you do about something like that? So the Minchas Yisrael came up with a ge'oinisha answer. What did he do? He said you should go and take a skin graft from another part of the body, put that skin on top of it, min b'minoi einoi choitzit, and then you'll be able to put the tefillin on that skin graft on top of the skin. You won't be able to remove the tattoo, never. But at least she'll be clothed now. She now she'll have clothing on top of her.
She'll be a tznua now.
She'll be a tznua now by putting the skin on top of it, grafting the skin on top. It'll be
he could paint her. He could put a dress on top of her.
I don't know. Anyway, as we state in the tshuva there of the Minchas Yitzchak.
Tattoo is an issue,
from my understanding until recent times they were unremovable or irremovable or what they write what's the shalom? It's a bizoyan. Every time you put the tefillin on you can make a bruch on it. Anyway,
so you're doing an issue again, could be.
I'm not an expert in tattooing and therefore I couldn't tell you for certain. And we continue on now. This is the famous more of Ramalkiyoy and Ramalkiyah that you have several times in Shas. What's the Shaila over here? There's no Shaila. There were two Amayroim. One's name was Ramalkiyah with an Aleph, and one was Ramalkiyoy with a Vav. Each one of them said three halachis, the three members. And the question is, which one of the two said which of the members? See, more tell us. Omer Malkiya, Omer of Adabar Ahava, also the Odom Shiitin Efa Makla Al Gabi Makosoi, and the Shaniris Kiksoi Viskaka. What happens if a person has a terrible makah, and he wants to put on it iodine, or he wants to put on it mercurochrome, and he looks in his medicine cabinet and he's out, and all the drugstores are closed. So what does he do? He has Efa Makla, he has hot ash, and he figures that hot ash will also act as an antibacterial type of thing. It'll burn out the germs in the bacteria, and he'll pour that Al Gabi Makosoi. The problem is that after the wound heals, it'll leave a roishim for a long time. Not for the rest of his life, but for a long time. And so therefore, an unknowing person might see this person walking around with such a roishim on his flesh, and he may say, hey, this guy's also doing tattooing. It's the chaner, the chid, what's going on? Therefore, stay away, don't put the eifa makla, because it's nearer, you can say this kak. Okay. Om Rav Nachman Rei Dravika, Shpud Shvachis Vigumais Rav Malkiyoi. The Malkiyoy with the Vav said the three halachas, Shput, Shvachas, and Gumais. Beloiris, Eifa, Maklu, Gvina, was Rav Malkiyoy with an Aleph. Aha. Now what are these six halachas, Shput, Shvachas, Gumais? Beloiris, Eifa, Maklu, Gvina. So go through it quickly. Shput is halacha that if a person has a spit on Yontif, that spit was used to go and barbecue or roast something, and now the roasting or barbecuing is all finished, and now he has his fit. Shteitot in the Gemara in Mesechtes Shabbos and Mesechtes Beya, that this spit is now muktzah machmas mius, because I don't intend using it anymore, and I have no use for it. It's all schmutzig with all grease and schmaltz on it, and therefore it's muktzah. Aha. However, Rav Malki Yoy said, Ichoban Aitza. What you can do is you can basically, Shoimtoi Omenichoi Bekeren Zovies. Shoimtoi means would like to go and kick it with your foot. Don't pick it up, some mukta. But do it Kilachar Yad. Give it a kick to the corner and leave it there until after Yontov, and after Yontov you'll pick it up. So, that's what you're allowed to do with the Shvut. This is a Memra, meaning that Rav Nachman, the Rav Malki Yoy, was referring to a memra said by Shmuel, that Shmuel says you're not allowed to go and touch the spit because it's now muktza. Chavaneit is a Rav Malki Yoy. Show him to go and push it aside with your foot, with your leg, and you'll pick it up after Yantar. So he's talking about a memra of an Amoira. Shvachois is a Mishnah in Mesechtes Ksubis, where it says that if a person goes and gets married, the wife has four basic functions that she has to do, including cooking and including knitting and sewing and household chores. And the Gemara says, however, if the woman happens to be wealthy, if she brings in one shivcha to the marriage, then she doesn't have to do the cooking. If she has two shivcha, she doesn't have to do the sewing and knitting, and three and four, etc., etc. If she's wealthy enough to bring enough shivcha, she can basically be a free woman and not do anything in terms of tasks for her husband. Ah, however, comes again Reb Lezer, and Reb Lezer says, even if she's so wealthy, she brought in 100 maids, she continued to do certain basic services for her husband, because bitul or batala maybe liday shimum or maybe liday zima. If a woman has nothing to do, then chas v'shalom is like men having nothing to do, and unfortunately will do all different types of averos, because a person will just go crazy doing nothing, so therefore they have to be somewhat employed doing something. So that's halacha based on the Mishnah, and Rav Malki Yoy says, we paskin like that Rav Lezer, that even if you have 100 shvachas, the wife still has to do certain basic functions. V'gumais. Gumais is again a memra, and this is referring to a memra of Rav Chelboy, that says that if you have a young girl and you want to determine whether she's already bas mitzvah, she has to have shtei sarois, as we know. But he says it's not enough to have shtei sarois, it also have to be shtei sarois with shtei gumais. Gumais are holes. The fancy word is follicles, that you see the hairs coming out of the two follicles. Why? Because if you just see two hairs, it could be just fuzz, which falls out in another minute, and it's really not shtei sarois. Comes again, Rav Malki Yoy says, you know what? The hair is not the important thing. The important thing is the two gumais. Once you see the follicles, then you know there were probably hairs already there from before, and therefore she's already, based on the two gumais, you can already establish that she's a bas mitzvah. Ah. So now, these three halachas were Rav Malki Yoy. The first and the third, Rav Malki Yoy was responding to an amoira, while the shvachos was the Mishnah Mesechtes Ksubis that Rav Malki Yoy was saying, we paskin like Reb Lezer. Now, what's the second list? The second list is Beloiris Eifer Makla Ugvina. Beloiris means that the Goyim used to have, we call a Beloiris a chup. In all likelihood, it wasn't a chup, it was probably a ponytail. But they used to go and leave certain amount of hair, La Avoida Zara. That this is a way they would go and serve the Avoida Zara. Everybody would come in with their nice chup in the front, in the back, on the side, whatever. And this would be something miyuchad that the Goyim would go and do. In Mesechtes Avoida Zara, we're going to learn in Miyat Hashem, that if you have a Jewish barber who is giving a haircut to a guy, then he has to be careful not to get all the way until that bloitis, because if he cuts away all the hair and leaves that bloitis behind, then it looks like he is, in a sense, assisting the guy in establishing his bloitis, lavoitis art. So what... What he's doing is, he's in a sense a co-collaborator, co-conspirator. He is being misayeya yidei the avodah zarah nikkers, this guy, in establishing his bloitis by shaving everything else off too, and not including the bloitis. And therefore the Mesechtes Avodah Zarah says, you know what he has to do? He has to go and stay away at least three etzba'os. Let him give him a full haircut. When you start getting close to the bloitis, he should stop three etzba'os away. So therefore it's not that he has just left the bloitis, he left other hair on the head as well. And with this, he doesn't have a problem in cutting the goy's hair. Says Ramalki, we paskin like that, man yomar. And that again, that's based on a Mishnah in Masechtas Avodah Zarah. Now we have the case of Eifer Makla. That's our case, Eifer Makla. That if a person, this is a Shmaitzer, meaning this is an Amoira speaking, that Ramalkiya said, make sure not to put Eifer Makla Gabi Makosoi, because it looks like Soy this Kaka. Okay. And now is the third halacha. The third halacha is Givina. Givina is a Braisa, again, in Masechtas Avodah Zarah, a Mishnah, that it says over there that you're not allowed to go and buy and eat cheese from Goyim. Why can't you buy cheese from Goyim? The Gemara gives a number of reasons. One of the reasons Ramal Kiyoy gives is because they smear it with lard. They make it, to make it nice and to make it strong and stiff and shine and vus. They smear on top with chazafetz, with lard, and therefore that's why you're not allowed to eat the goyish cheese. Of course, the Gemara gives other reasons as well, but that's what we're focusing on now, this Rav Malkiya. Okay, in those three halachas of Beloiris, Eifer Makla and Gvina, Beloiris and Gvina are both based on Mishnayis or Brises, and Eifer Makla was a Shemaitza, a Stama Memra of the Amirai. Says now Rapapa Omar, Masnisa no Masnisa, Rav Malkiyo, Shmaitza Rav Malkiyo. Rapapa agrees that there is a Rav Malkiyo and a Rav Malkiyo. However, he kind of switches it around a little bit. He says anything involving a Mishnah or a Braisa, that was Rav Malkiyo with an Aleph. Anything involving a Shmaitza, Shmaitza means it wasn't a Mishnah or Braisa, it was based on an Amoira that Rav Malkiyo or Malkiyoi was talking about, that's Ramalkiyoi with a vav. For you to easily remember, the simonech, the simon is Masnisa Malkisa, the Mishnais and the Brises, that's royalty. And royalty Malkisa means with the Aleph Ramalkiyo, as opposed to Ramalkiyo, which is not the royalty, it's just a vav, and therefore that's referring to Shmaitzes, not referring to the Mishnais and the Brises, which are real royal. So, frankly, more my benai, what's the difference between Rav Papa and Rav Nachman Bered Rav Iker? Iker benayu shvachois. Aha. Because we started off, Rav Malkiyo spoke about shvud, shvachois, and gumois. The shvud and the gumois are both responses that Rav Malkiyo had towards other amiroim. So those two are good. That's Rav Malkiyo, amiroim, shmaitze, fine. But the Shvachois, Rav Malkiyo was speaking about the Mishnah in Maseches Ketubos, about having 1, 2, 3, 4, or 100 Shvachois. Ah, so therefore that Lechayr doesn't belong into the Rav Malkiyo line, because he's only talking about Shmaitzes, not about Mishnais. Therefore says, take Shvachois out of Rav Malkiyo and add it to the list of Rav Malkiyo. However, we have to note that Rav Malkiyo has his three halachas, and although halacha 1 Beloiris and halacha 3 Gvina are based on Mishnayis and Braises, Eifer Makla was our Gemara that's based on Rav Malkiyo speaking on his own a Shmaitza. So l'chor, that shouldn't be in Rav Malkiyo, that should be added to Rav Malkiyo. So Rivon already asked the Kasha, and Rivon has two pshat, and the second pshat is, Einachanami, that when he say in the Gemara, Shvachois, we mean Shvachois, and its corresponding middle halacha of the three of Ramalkiya. In other words, just like by Ramalkiyoi, the middle one, the Shvachois, is the one that we are going to extract and throw onto the list of Ramalkiya. Similarly, Ramalkiya, the corresponding middle halacha is Eifer Makla, we're going to do an even exchange and throw that back to Rav Malkiyo.
So still 3 and 3.
Still 3 and 3. Just a rearrangement, exactly. We flip the Shvachois and the Eifer Makla. Good. Now we get back to our Gemara. Rav Malkiyo, remember, said that don't put Eifer Makla Gabi Makosai, because it looks like Seder's Kaka. Rivdikusilta means that a person would let out blood. He would go to the blood letter, they would go and put in a little needle, just like today when they want to draw blood, you put in a little needle and you go and draw out the blood. It's a very small hole that the person made in his flesh or in his skin. Even on that small little nothing. So Rabbi Barbaya says, don't go and pour on the Eifer Makla, because it's near this Kesevis Kaka. What's the Chiddush Rabbi Barbaya? That even though it's not a shear of a Kezayas, Kadasha, Kesoira, whatever, it's such a small little nothing like a Kosho, all to us. Rabashi, however, disagrees with Rav Malkiyon And Rabbi Barabaya, Rav Ashi Amar, Kol Mokim Shiesha Maka, Makasim Machia Cholav. If a person has a wound and a person pours Eifa Makla on the wound, it's a real stretch to say that he looks like it intends, it's may, it smells like Aksaydis Kaka. Nah, come on. Person has a Maka, he doesn't have iodine. The way to burn out the germs, you put an Eifa Makla, it's not a problem. Makasim Machia Cholav, that he doesn't intend doing anything which is Osir Al Pitaita, and therefore he disagrees with his Allah. Okay, on to the Mishnah. We first start off with a nazir. A nazir, as we know, has three isurim. Number one, he's not allowed to drink wine for 30 days. Number two, he's not allowed to be metamel mesim. And number three, he's not allowed to go and take a haircut for 30 days. Yishok the Mishnah. Nazir shay yishoy siyayin kolayayin. A nazir that you're drinking ashikar, he's drinking wine the whole day. Ein chay v'lachas. If you gave him an initial hasra in the morning, before he started breakfast, before he started drinking wine, Nazir, don't drink wine, you're going to be over. And he drank anyway. He gets one, even though he's drinking agam sitok. However, Omrli altishta v'altishta, when happens throughout the day, we tell him, you're still drinking? Don't you know that if you drink, you're going to get malchus? Pushoi said, he continues, chayv v'kolach v'yachas. Every time you give him another hasra, he's chayv another time malchus. What happens if you have a nozer and he drinks in the base of Chaim in the cemetery, a gun to tog, a gate, and a kumta, and a kumta, and a gate? If you gave him one hasra at the beginning of the day, it's only chayv what? However, if you gave him multiple hasrois, don't be metame, and he continued doing so, then he gets multiple malchus. The Mefarshim say that lechoyra, this is a groisa chidush. Why is it groisa chidush? Because legavi metame zayin, as we know, once a person is tamei, he's tamei. You can go and have that same person metame himself 20 times. It hasn't increased lechoyra's tuma. The tuma remains. So that's a groisa chidush to tell me that even though he's tamei already, if he's metame yet again, even though it's not being moist of tuma, nevertheless, it's chayiv al kol achas v'yachas.
Is this a case of Isser Chal and Isser?
Why is it Isser
Chal? Isser being metame himself is happening already just when he's already tame. He's already fulfilled the Isser. He's already yotzei the Isser. Now he's doing it again.
It's like the nazir also, he's drinking again and again. The din of Isser Chal is talking about two separate Isserim. Somebody already has a pre-existing Isser, and then he adds an Isser to that.
It's another incident, it's another occurrence of the same Isser, as I'm saying. Is it similar?
Isser Chal is only two separate. Like we had, remember, back in Sech Sanhedrin, we had that someone was originally Eishas Ish, and then after that she became his Chamoisai.
Right.
So the question is whether Isser Chal Isser or not, two separate Isser. Here's talking about the same Isser. The question is, the multiple Asrois is Goyrim multiple malchus. The Tosis in Masechet Shavuos says that in fact the reason why, if he's metam again and again, he's chayv again and again, because in fact there is a hoisofas tuma. How is the hoisofas tuma? Explains the Tosis in Masechet Shavuos. I think it's Daf Yud Zayin. Dr. Azay, because if a person is metam lames, what happens to that person? He becomes, and he touched the mess itself. The mess itself, of course, an aviyah voisatuma. If he touches that mess, he becomes an avatuma. Okay? What can he be metame? He can only be metame. Other people are kalim to become a rishonatuma. But that's as long as he has left the mess. He touched the mess, he left it, now he's a din of avatuma. What happens if he goes back to the mess again and he holds on to the hand of that mess? Then it's a tuma b'chiburin, and this person himself becomes like an avi avoy satuma, that he can go and be metama even others to become avatumas. Ah, so therefore, Dr. Taisviz, every time over there is a hoisofas tuma, each time that he goes back again to the mess, because it's a tuma b'chiburin, by the fact that he's holding on to the mess, or talramis, being malalamas, then that adds to the tuma, he's no longer just Tomei and Avatumei, he would get now the status like the mess himself.
Oh,
of course, afterwards he leaves. Nish, but each time he goes back, he was up there.
If he's Ma'ala on a mess,
yeah. Would that be Tomei Chiburim? That's a good question. We have to iron more. But the point is, if he touches the mess, then it's Tomei Chiburim. Yes, that everybody agrees. So this is a very touchy issue. Touching for sure. Good. So that's halacha number two. Halacha number three, I'm a galeach kol hayom. The nazir is supposed to grow his hair long, and he decided to go to the barber, and he's being a galeach hagan tzitzak. So that's all by a nasi. Now let's go to a regular commoner. The person is wearing shatnas. And we told him in the morning, this shatnas, there's a special shatnas label that says, this is 100% shatnas, and he wears it anyway. If he keeps on taking it off and putting it back on, he takes it off and puts it back. On each time that he takes it off and he puts it on, therefore it could be even 100 times malchus each time. Now the lashon of Mishnah is very clear that he has to be poishit v'loivish. In other words, if he's just walking around with the shatnas and we give him hasra at 9 o'clock and then at 10 o'clock and then at 11 o'clock, l'chayda it's only one wearing. He didn't. It's only if he's poishit v'loivish. That's the poshit shat in the Mishnah. We'll see mention in the Gemara that it's not so simple. Mietchen, we'll see right. And now we have the final case of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah wants to go and turn on the hot faucet and put on many different lavin on the same individual. Ish chodesh telem echad. One person can go and do a harisha of one telem, one furrow, one ditch in the field. V'chayim olam mishum shemoyin alavin. He can have 8 separate lavin. How can you have 8 separate lavin? A choyrish person is doing harisha b'shor v'chamor. Okay, already that's your isser number one, because the Torah says like sachrish b'shor v'chamor yachtov, because you are taking together two separate minim. Although Rishbam points out lav dafka shor v'chamor, the same thing could apply to shor v'seh, other different minim. But the point is, if a person is being marbia by being machrish the two together, he's over already one lach. Vei muktoshim. When I'm both the shor v'chamor are kadosh. Now, how would they be kadosh? Says Rishbam. For instance, if they're both bechoyrim, it says in the pasuk, loisavoy bechoyr shoyrecha. Ah, okay. So that's you're working with a bechoyr shor. And even though it only talks about shor, what happens if you have a petr chamor? Chamor, as we know, is the only non-kosher animal that has also a bechor. You have a petr chamor before you appoint it. Machloik is whether or not you're allowed to have hanoah from a petr chamor before pidyon, but according to the first pshat of the Rivan, it's talking about according to the Man Yama that holds that it's aser. So if you're being shorish, shor v'chamor, they're both kadosh. They're both kadosh because this is a bechor shor and this is a petr chamor. You're even now on two more isurim. Issur number one was the mixed min shor v'chamor yachtov. Now two more, you're doing a bechor shor. And you're also doing a petach hamar. So you have so far 3. Ukalayim bekerem. If you're talking about that this was a vineyard, and there were kilayim seeds in the vineyard, and as a result of the harisha, you covered over the seeds. Gemara is going to use the expression choife to cover them over. That would be issa number 4. Ubashvizen, if you're doing it in Shemitah year, it's going to be number 5. And if you're doing it on Yontif, it's going to be number 6. And if it's going to be the koyin, the nazir, the Beis HaTumah, if this kerem that he's working on happens to be inside a cemetery, and he's a kohen and a nazir, he'll be over on 7, on an 8, 8 isurim altogether. Chanani ben Chachinoy Oimer, afalui bishkalai. What happens if this person is a kohen ben nazir, he's walking around with shatnas, he'll be chayim no menoy. Amruloi eini Hashem. Now that's different. Why is that different? Because it has nothing to do with the harisha. He's a fact that he's. What happens if it's yontif and he's smoking a cigarette, or what happens if he's? I'm sorry. My apologies. Give another example of something that you're not allowed to do. What happens if he's shooting somebody at the same time that he's doing the harisha? That everybody agrees that's prohibited. Good. So that would be number 9. But that has nothing to do with the harisha. The fact that he's wearing shatnas, he could have worn overalls which were not shatnas. So therefore, that's not included. His amalem afanozer loy min Hashem. So that's the case. Take out koyim minozer, because the fact that he's a koyim minozer loy malva loy moirid in terms of the harisha itself. The Gemara doesn't give an answer to this kasha. The Mishnah doesn't give an answer. However, the Bar Tanura says that the chum hold that when a person is doing harisha, he can't just let the shor v'chamor go on their own. You have to have someone that's going to control the plow, that's going to walk with the shor v'chamor. If that person happens to be the kohen nazir, so he's participating in the harisha. If he's a kohen nazir, therefore he happens to be oivet. The fact that he's wearing overalls which are made out of shatnas, not made out of shatnas, that's le'mal v'loy moirid, and therefore that's why the chum say, that's not min hashem. We don't include that as part of number 9.
The question, you said the chor.
Yeah.
Is there an issue also, even though Me'ilah is typically the shogeg, but is there also an issue of Me'ilah here?
So the kasha that you're asking, the Rivan asks this kasha. If you go down the Rivan, about a quarter down the Amud, you'll notice in the middle of the line there's a little dot. in our Gemara's Kol Shnei Minim. Umishem ha-no'od mishani mihegish v'havlei hizid b'me'ila. Your question.
Yes.
Loi lucky. The b'chor la bar me'ilahu, the mumin koyenu dein me'ila v'kotshe gavoya. And this is the me'kotshe koyen. Therefore, since it's private stuff, it's like Rabbi Yosef Levi always says by any type of kachim kalim, there's mum and balim. So mum and balim is no dinam ila, only mila on the kachim gavoya, and not by bechor, which by definition is kachim kalim. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara. Zokti Mariyetz. We started talking about the Kelayim and the Amid Alva person wearing Shatnas, and the Mishnah said he has to be poshid veloivid, poshid veloivish. So we're going to see it's a three-way machloikis. Zokti Mariyetz. You have Omer Avibi, Omer Avi Yosi, Poishe Veloivish, Loivish Mamish, Oy Afila Machtas Amoitzi. The way our gears is, he's posing a question. He's saying, there's a Poishe Veloivish Mamish? In other words, he has to go and take off his whole jacket and put it back on? Oy Afila Machtas Amoitzi Beisiyat Unkelish Loi. Or is it enough just to go and put on his sleeve? That's the way our Girsa is. However, the Messiah's Shas changes the Girsa slightly. Not that he's asking a question, but he's telling us a statement. If you look in the bays on the Masoris Shas, Amar Bibi, Amar Abasi, Loi Poish V'Loi V'Shmamish, Ela Filu Machnis His Beis Yad, Machnis Amoit Beis Yad Unkeli Shalai. In other words, there's a big sign on his jacket that this is full of Shatnas. So a portion of Shat in the Mishnah is you take it off and you put it back on. Says this Man Yama, you don't have to take the whole thing off. If you just slip off one sleeve and you put it back on, that's already enough to be over and get another time Malkus if you had a new Hasra.
We had earlier in the Gemara, that a merchant demonstrate wearing shatness to a customer.
But he's not a merchant. He's the customer who owns this baggage.
Yeah, he doesn't have the exemption. He's not a merchant.
Exactly right. Mecha Rav Acha Bereid Rav Ika Iyuli Vafuke. Rav Acha Bereid Rav Ika respectfully disagreed, and Mech Vahini made a demonstration. He took off his jacket and he put it back on. No such thing as just sleeves. It doesn't even have to be any physical removal at all. As long as after you gave him the second or the third or the fourth asra, he kept on wearing this beged and he didn't remove it. How long did he keep it on for the amount of time that it takes to remove a jacket? How long did it take? 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 20 seconds, a half a minute, whatever it is, to take it off and put it back on. He's already over. I l'chayr have a problem. If he didn't do anything, isn't it a lav she'ein by ma'isa? Lav she'ein by ma'isa ain loikin olav. It's not Toises over here, Toises elsewhere, answers Akasha with two terutzim. Either it goes like Rabbi Yehuda that holds even Lav Sheim B'Maisa Loikin Olav, or even if it's not going like Rabbi Yehuda, we go and look upon each new Hasra and each new allowing and continuing to wear the baget that attaches to the original wearing in the morning. When I first put on my jacket this morning, and I did it by violating the hasra that was given, don't put it on, it's full of shatnas, and I put it on anyway, that was already a lav sheyesh b'maisa. Each time the person gets hasra throughout the day, take off that baget because it's made out of shatnas, and he doesn't take it off, it's considered to be a lav sheyesh b'maisa because we look upon the first wearing in the morning as it's still part of how did it get on him. It didn't fly on him by itself because he put it on. So that putting on, it's as if he kept on putting it on multiple times according to Rav Ashi. Okay, now we're going to examine this Yosh Chodesh Telem, V'chuli. Om Rav Yana, V'chabura Nimna V'gomru, when we were learning together V'chabura, we decided HaChoyfe B'Kilayim is like it. Choyfe B'Kilayim means that if you have seeds of Kilayim, Kilayim means that you had a mixture of, for instance, grape seeds together with wheat seeds and barley seeds on the floor in the ground. However, they were not covered over. And a person now is choyfe, he covers them like a chuppah covers the chosen kala. You now cover over the seeds by putting earth on top of it. You get malchus, says Rishbam, not Rishbam, the Rivon, because of Zoireya. This is a form of seeding them, even though the seeds are in the ground already. But you're assisting the Zriya process. Loikim Shem Zriya. Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Yanai, big deal. It says in the Mishnah, Yesh Chodesh Tel Lamech V'chayev Olam Yishem Shmoyin Alavin. HaChodesh B'Shar B'Chomor V'in Mosh U'Kelayim B'Kerem. No. Sahai Chodesh L'Mechayim Mishem Kelayim Heichem Mishkachas La. How do you do a Charisha by Kelayim? After all, the problem with Kelayim is Chsod chole sizra kiloyim. You're not allowed to go and plant. Charish is not planting, it's plowing. So how does Charish have anything to do with Kalayim? Lav de mechse bahadei de ozel. Muzdach lechoyrezayim, that is a result of, in other words, you already seeds in the ground, and by planting them, now plowing the field, that causes the earth from underneath to go on top, and now covers over the seeds, and that's what we mean in our Mishnah. If that's the pshat in the Mishnah, so Rabbi Yanai, what's your givaldi gechidush bechabura nimnu v'kom tachun to the Mishnah? Later, Rabbi Yanai said back to Rabbi Yochanan, "Id lav did loy v'chol chaspa. If I wouldn't have picked up the shard, mi mishkachas marganisa tusa, would you have found the pearl underneath?" This is an expression that's used a number of times in Chas. And what Rabbi Yanai is saying is, "Avada, that's pshat in the Mishnah. However, had I not taught you this din of choiz b'kalayim loike, you might have learned the Mishnah and not understood that that's the halach of the Mishnah. What would you have understood? As the Gemara is going to introduce in another moment, there's a svara of Rabbi Kiva, that Rabbi Kiva holds, Mekayim Kilayim is loike. Mekayim Kilayim means what happens if you own the field. And you see that there are seeds in that field, which are growing into Kilayim, a mixed hybrid type of situation, even though you didn't do anything. You just allow the existence of that Kilayim, Loike, you get Malkus. Mr. May also hold Lav Shein B'Maisa Loike and all of it. But anyway, good. Anyway, so the point is, we could have learned Pshat in the Mishnah that the Chodesh should not be Shem Choyfe because of covering over the seeds, but Alt Mekayim. And therefore, Jokt Yetz Rabbi Yanai to Rabbi Yochanan, those to this, and if I wouldn't have explain to you this halach of Chayfa, you wouldn't have really understood the proper pshat in the Mishnah, because you would have attributed the lav to the kiyum, not to the Chayfa zoireya aspect. So this was the discussion between Rabbi Yanai and Rabbi Yochanan. Rish Lakish was present, and Amalei Rish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. So Rish Lakish said to Rabbi Yochanan, "Ilav the kiltzach gaver rabba." If it wasn't for the fact that Rabbi Yanai gave you credit and said that you found the pearl in the Mishnah after I uncovered the shard, but you found that pearl. If it wasn't for that nice shevach, kiltzach means to go and give you a nice compliment, have a minna, I would have thought Masisa Manir Rabbi Kiva. Oh, I would take a learn like Rabbi Kiva. The Amar Makayim Kilayim Loike. Where's this Rabbi Kiva? My Rabbi Kiva. Decide we learn the Braisa. Ha-Menachish. Menachish means a person who removes weeds. He weeds a kerem. But mechapa b'kilayim, a person who covers over, that's the choif and mechapa are the same term. Loike. Rabbi Kiva oimer af ha-mekayim. Now it sounds like on the surface that there's a machloikis here. The Tanakama says machap is loike, Bikiva says afa mekayim. However, the Rivon says that the Gemara elsewhere, I think in Moyen Cotton, says that these are really one and the same. That the Bikiva, it really goes together. Hamachap bekilayim loike mishum mekayim. The Bikiva omar afa mekayim. So it's really one sheet. That's how the Rivon learns pshat in this price. And therefore, you're chayiv out mekayim. My time of the Kiva, where does Rabbi Kiva take this from? The sign it says in the Pasuk, Sod choli sizra kiloyim, ein li ela zoireya loy sizra, mekayim yinayin, how you know you chayim mekayim? Tamaloyim, it says, kiloyim sod choloy. Now this, it really doesn't say these words in that context. What we have to do is we have to look at the full Pasuk. So if you have number one here, it says, Es chukoy tzai tishmoyru, behem tuchol leisabia kelayim, that's halacha number one, don't be marbia two minim behemoth. So at chol leisizah kelayim, don't go and plant kelayim. Uveki kelayim shabbos le'alecha, don't wear shabbos. However, the Gemara had the mesoira that because the words are written in this fashion, that you can go and put a stop after behem tuchol leisabia, stop, and then say, kelayim sodcha loy. What means kilayim sod chaloy? Even if you don't do a zriya, the fact that you have the kiyum of kilayim in your soda, does aloy mit an aleph, does terminished. Even though that first kilayim is really talking about behem chaloy sabir kilayim. You might have the mesoida that we can dash in the pasuk this way, and therefore, if your balkore were to say behem chaloy sabir and stop, and then continue on, kilayim sod chaloy, everybody would see a nut, and then you halt the Rebbe Kiva. That's the makar for the din of kiyum, kilayim, the soda, which is prohibited. Okay, anyway, so bottom line is, we've now finished this discussion. Rabbi Yanai said the pshat in the Mishnah, and the pshat of Rabbi Yochanan in our Mishnah is, he's over Zoireya because he's choyfe b'kelayim. And Rish Lakish said, I could have learned a different pshat, that it goes like Rabbi Kiva, and it's out the kiyum, and not out the Zoireya. Based on the fact that you're telling me now that he's accomplishing a zriya by covering over the seeds. That's how Rabbi Yani Rabbi Yechon learned. So then I have lav number 9. What's lav number 9? We said in our Mishnah that he's chayv al chodesh b'yontif, chodesh and yontif. But it's also zriya and yontif because he's zoreya by covering over the seeds. The chayv I have a 9th iser zoreya b'yontif and chodesh b'yontif, 9 altogether. Okay, we left out one. Ein hachanami. Amalei, come on, give me a break. Tanak, Tani, Shmoyne, Bat Amr, son of Ishaya. He specially goes to lengths to try to find 8, and maybe add another one of sharpness to make it 9. We were trying to figure out more and more to pour on another Isser. And you say, no, Lavdavki didn't really mean it. L'chor, if he left out Zriya, he means it. And therefore, Amar Rava, Yish Chilik Malachas B'Shavvin, Chilik Malachas B'Yontif. That we have 39 of his Malachas is only Shabbos Kodesh. When it comes to Yontif, that distinction doesn't apply. It's all one loisavid loisasa by malacha. You now do malacha on yontif, but even if a person were to go and do multiple isurim on yontif, all with one hasra, person gives an hasra. Yontif, don't do zareya, and don't do chodesh, and don't do kaisiv, and don't do kaitzer, and don't do shoychet. And he did all of those. He only gets one malchus for all of them because there is no chilik malachus on
yatah.
Oh, so now let's talk about the chatas. Chatas is only if the isser that you do b'meizid you'd get kares. Therefore, if you did a b'shoigi, you get a carbon chatas. That only applies to Shabbos. It doesn't apply to yontif. Because if a person does malach on yontif, he doesn't get kares, he doesn't get skila, it's an iser lav, and you get malchus. And if the person did it b'shoigeg, he has to go and clap a few more times al chayt and asham the begadnu, but there is no carbon chatas on b'shoigeg of a chiyav malchus.
Except for Yom Kippur.
Except for Yom Kippur itself, it's also kares. Yom Kippur is kares. Chol oisim locha, the nichrasa, the regular Yom Tiv, is just a din of Yah. Anyway, so therefore, he's saying, even though he did Zariya v'chayrish, it's as if he did multiple times Zariya, multiple times Harisha, and therefore it's only one Issa Malacha, one time Malchus. Omalei, Adotehei. Adotehei is an emphatic statement. Yo, Zoyse Meres. What you said is, Dosetak of the Emes. That there's a chilik between Shabbos and between Yontif. Is the chayr, you can go and ask, so why didn't our Mishnah Taka say that he did a Harisha on Shabbos and add on Chayrish, Mitzriya, and have 9 and Taka have more? Why did it say Yontif instead of Shabbos? Shabbos, you agree this Chavik Malacha, so let it say Shabbos in the Mishnah. And that's really, if you want, a klutz kasha. The reason why it's a klutz kasha because our Mishnah is trying to find Malkus in. And if a person were to go and do Zriya v'Harish and Shabbos, he never gets Malkus. He would get either Misa, Chas Hashem, Skila, or Karis. If he did a Bishoyi, he'd have to be in Karim Chatas. But what happens if we go and give him Hasra? Mister, if you're going to go and do this, you're going to go and get Malkus. So we already have the more back in Daf Yud Gimel that he cannot have Hasra le Malkus on Dover Shisuroi Misa. Since it's so chomer that it's Misa, there's no such thing as giving Malkus and something like that. Well, what was it? More is Lashon. Ein loikin alav shebe misa. Something like that. Anyway, let's be more back in Daf Yud Gimel. So getting back to our Gemara now, so that's why he has 8. Hey, so yabai. You tell me, chelik malach is beyond, we don't see chelik malach. What now we have the Mishnah. Hamavah shel gid. Now this is talking about gid hanosha. The hay of the Bach adds the word hanosha. Hamavah shel gid hanosha becholov beyontif. The acholai. It's yontif. The person who gid hanosha, he mixed it with milk, and he cooked it, and he ate it. Loike chavish, you're going to go and get 5 times malchus. What are the 5? Number 1, loike mishim, oichel gid. Gid hanosha, that's itself an iser. You get an asher, you get an iser, number 1. V'loike mishim mavashel b'yontif. He went and cooked on yontif. Now you're going to tell me you're allowed to cook on yontif, but mavashel b'yontif shaloi letzoirich. If you cook to go and eat a normal meal of avada, but since you're not allowed to eat a gid hanosha, cooking a gid hanosha, which is shaloi letzoirich. That's number 2. V'loike mishim mavashel gid b'cholav. Because gid, according to this man, the Yomar Rishbam says, Rivon says, it's referring to the man, the Yomar, that holds yesh begidin benoisin tam, because this is a famous machloikis, yesh begidin benoisin tam, ein begidin benoisin tam, but if you hold yesh begidin benoisin tam, means it's like a shtickle flesh, like a shtickle meat, so it is a bishul bas b'cholav, it's a smashel gidi b'cholav v'imoy. So that's number 3.
Yeah,
but Vashal Gidi
or Gidi.
Very good. Gidi and Gid, same oysters. Very good. number four is that he eats basar b'chalav. Again, if you hold that yesh beginim and oisin tam, it's like eating basar b'chalav.
The bashal and the eating are two separate maises. This is a reaction. So.
For sure. And that's we're adding it all together. Mavashal gid b'chalav beyond the achaloi. First he did the bishal and then he did the achila. He's going to get five all together. And the fifth one is v'loikim mishum havara, because to be able to cook he had to go and stir up the coals, start the fire. So he has five all together. Aha. Okay, so one of the five was the bishul b'yontif. Another one of the five is havara, causing the fire on yontif. If any one of them is, if you tell me that when it comes to yontif, all the issa malachas are all one amorphous lo yisas akom malacha, then isa mishem havara lo yimachayv, do yichayv le mishem bishulay. How can you have both bishul and havara? Just like you can't have zriya v'charish on yontif, you can't have havara and bishul on yontif. They're two separate things. And the Mefarshim say, it's talking about that he did the bishul and the havara simultaneously. Because if he first went and put together all the fire, and then after he put the fire together, and then he puts the pot or the pan on top of the fire and starts cooking, there's already two separate actions. So it has to be a situation where what he first did was he put everything into the pan or into the pot, and he put it on top of the lumber, on top of the coals, and now he stirred up the coals. So at the same moment that he's causing the fire to stir up, he's also cooking at the same time. Otherwise, you'd have two separate mice. Okay, good. So, Mark, you know what you have to do is, I agree with you. Take out the bishul. I'm sorry. Take out the havara, which was number five over here, and instead putting ginosh shel nevela. And it's talking about not the cooking, but that he ate the ginosh shel. So now it will only be over and ginosh. It will be over also on a shtik nevela. That's how you have five. Thank you more. No, but tani rabchia loikishtaim alechilosei v'sholish al bishulai. That how do you get the five? Two is on the achila, three is on the bishul, the iisa. And if you're telling me that I'm going to take out now the havara and I'm going to place it by eating ginosh shel nevela, v'isa sholosh al chilasi uchayv, that it's going to be changing from two and three to three and two. It's going to be three achilas and only two bishuls. El apik havara v'ayil atzei asheira. Oh, take out havara, and instead, you know how he made the fire using atzi asheira. The asaros mihachem. What's the iser that he gets malchus? That asheira is avodah zara. You're not going to have any hanoah from avodah zara. So that's iser number five. By bringing in the avodah zarah into your home and using it for hanah, the chayav have yet another issur. It's not only issur liyipam biyarcha, but also the savit yeva al beisecha. Elach ma'iskin and gedoyin shemishli be'atzei hegdish. Oh, he didn't use atzei. He should use atzei hegdish. That's the rosh mihach, and I have the asara from here. He used atzei hegdish by having hanah, which you're not allowed to. That's number five, and that's why we have five all together. So we took out Havara, and we're not talking about Nevela, we're not talking about Atzei Asherah, but we're talking about Atzei Hegdish to get to your full number five.
Ne'ila, again, we're going to question Ne'ila B'mezid question, Atzei Hegdish.
The question is, but the Atzei Hegdish is L'choyra, the same status of Kochim Kalim, meaning that it belongs to him.
It's because I'm a Racha. I understand by
it depends what time by Atzei Hegdish, whether it has a Kedusha the Goof, Kedusha Zom.
It's where the Mizbeach. It's where the Mizbeach.
Lav dafki is Atzei Hegdish v'Hegdish. Don't say Atzei Maracha. It could be Eitzim that he was Makdish Zom. You have to look at the Mefarshim more to see what it was. Have a wonderful day, everybody.